friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together by praising Him.
How are you doing learning this song? Is it a fun one? Oh, I enjoy this song. It's all about praising God and Jesus. Jesus was victorious. He has power and glory. We can tell others of His excellent greatness.
How are you doing with the books of the Bible? Let's say them together. We're learning three more books this week. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Sometimes it's easy to just say a book, Romans, but it's also important to know what that book is about. Romans was written by Paul, and Paul wrote the book of Romans to help people understand that the life of Jesus, it's not just about facts. It's important that we know the life of Jesus and we know what happened, but it's also important that it changes our hearts and that Jesus died for us and that that can help us to live a new life and to live a righteous life because of Jesus and what He did for us. Isn't that neat? So the book of Romans was written by Paul. Now, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, are you ready for that? Paul was also the one writing 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He wrote a lot of New Testament books. You'll keep hearing his name throughout the next few weeks. Paul wrote the book 1st Corinthians and 2nd Corinthians, and they were actually letters, kind of like an email that people send or a letter that you send to your grandma. That's like what Paul wrote. Paul wrote letters to a church in Corinth. Corinth was a city in Greece. Paul was writing these letters to the church that he helped to start. So he had started a church there in Corinth, in Greece, the country of Greece, and then after he had left, he wrote letters back to them to encourage them and to help them to keep on the straight and narrow. Sometimes they would get confused, or sometimes they would do things that they weren't supposed to do. But that is why Paul would write these letters, to help encourage them and tell them what was right and what was wrong and to stay away from. So that is what Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians is all about. Can you say that together? Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You try. Good job. Let's start from the beginning of the New Testament. Ready? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You are doing such a great job. I'm so glad that we get to keep learning the books of the Bible because that will make it easier for you to find our scriptures as we study our lesson together. Hello, boys and girls. It is our last day for this lesson. So we're going to do things a little bit different this time. We are going to review the lesson and I'm going to ask a bunch of questions. And I want you to think about what we've talked about this entire week and tell me the answers to the questions. But before we get started, let's pray and ask Jesus to be with us. Dear Lord, as we think about this week's lesson and apply it to our hearts and our lives, we ask that you will be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. We were talking this week about Jesus in the temple, right? He cleansed the temple, and then he came back the next day, and the scribes and the Pharisees tried to trick him, so they asked him a question, and he told them a story about a man who told his two sons to go out and work in the orchard, and one of them said, "Yes, I'll do it," and the other one said, "No, I'm not going to," and the one who said, "Yes, I'll do it," didn't do it. And the one who said, "No, I'm not going to," he is the one that actually went out and worked. Then Jesus was in the temple, and there was a widow who brought her two mites. And Jesus said that she gave more than all the other rich people. Which do you think loved God more? The proud rich people who wanted everyone to see how much they gave that day in the temple? Or the widow who didn't want anyone to see how little she gave? What do you think? Who do you think loved God more? Here's another question. Who had more money at home and didn't have to worry about buying the things that they needed? The rich people or that poor widow? It's like the example that we talked about last time. We talked about a man who has $100 and he gives 10, or another man who has $10 and he gives 10. The second man doesn't have anything left over. But do you think God can provide and take care of him? Definitely. Who do you think were probably trusting themselves and their money, and who was trusting God? Ooh, that's a big question. Do you think that the proud rich people were trusting their money or trusting God? Do you think the widow was trusting her money, or do you think she was trusting God? Does God know how much money we have left, as well as how much we give? What do you think? Yes, he does. But some people might say, well, then we should just give all of our money to God. No, that's not the answer. Is it okay to have money left after giving offerings? Of course. God expects and he knows that we need to have money to live on. But both rich and poor should always remember that their money comes from God. God is the one who gives our money. It's not just about how hard we work. Everything we have comes from God. And God blesses those who are faithful to him. There was a man who didn't have a lot of money. He worked in a factory and his children went to church school. They went to the school that the church provided. And church school can be very expensive. And so he was going over the budget and looking at everything, and he said, "You know, we just don't have enough money for all of our bills and our medical expenses and gas and food and all of that. We don't have enough money for that and church school. So you girls are going to have to go to public school." And the girls kind of looked at each other, and they were very sad, so they prayed. And they prayed, "Dear Jesus, please let us be able to go to church school." Well, that week, the dad went back to his work, and his boss said, "Hey, you have been doing such a good job, and I have been expanding my business. I want you to be a foreman." "A foreman? Yes, I want you to be a foreman. And so you would be in charge of this division, and you would make more money." So the dad went home, and he said, "Girls, guess what? Guess what? I am so excited. You can go to church school." Oh, there were happy joys and shouts and dancing all around the table. They were so excited. They got to go to church school. God had provided. But guess what? That very next week, he was in his new job, and his boss came up to him and said, "Hey, I have this sales guy coming on Friday night. It's after work, and I know normally you have your Sabbath and everything, but it's just this one time, and I set up this appointment before you became foreman, and I really need you to go over the inventory that he has to sell to help our business grow." And the boss said, "Do you think you can do that just this once? I won't ask you again. It's just this once." Just this once. Oh, the man thought about it, And he thought about it, and he said, "No, sir, I can't. I have to keep God's Sabbath holy. You're going to have to find somebody else to do that." His boss was very disappointed, and the man went home, and he looked at his girls, and he said, "I might not have a job on Monday." Well, he went back on Monday, and he decided that he was going to talk to his boss and let him know that if somebody else needed to be in that place because his religion and his Sabbath was going to hurt the company, then that's okay with him. He would go back to what he had been doing before. And the boss said, "Okay, all right, thank you for letting me know." Oh, he just had this sick feeling in the pit of his stomach. He let his boss down, but he kept the Sabbath, and he had put God first and honored God, even though things were tight at home with their money. Well, the end of the week came, and it was payday, and he looked at his check, and he had even more than he should have had for his job as a foreman. So he went back to his boss, and he said, "Sir, you gave me too much money." And the boss had a big grin on his face, and he said, "Yes, I know, I did give you too much money. But that's because I am promoting you to be the district manager of my company." Oh, wow. Not only did he have enough money for church school, he had way more money besides. God honored him for keeping his Sabbath holy. God honors us when we honor God. Everything that we have is God's. Everything that God gives us is His. And He wants us to do our very best and to honor Him no matter what. Everything we have comes from God. God can bless us above anything that we could ever ask or think when we put Him first. But when He gives us blessings, He wants us to bless others with what He has given us. I want you to listen to this verse. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. If you know where Matthew is, that's the first book in the New Testament. Just flip back a little bit and you'll find Malachi. It's right there. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. If you need a little more time, pause this recording. But let's see what Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says.
"Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it."
He wants us to share with those who need help. So I want us to think about this. If you get an allowance, or if you earn money, or maybe you even receive some money as a gift for Christmas or your birthday, do you first think about giving God part of it back? And then, do you maybe even help God's work more by giving an extra offering as a thank you? Did you know that Jesus wants us to think like that? That doesn't mean that we can't use some of it for ourselves. Definitely. But God wants us to put Him first, help others, and then use the rest for ourselves. I know I want to do that today. How about you? Well, let's pray and ask God to help us to have a cheerful, giving spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You will put Your Spirit in us so that we will want to give happily and cheerfully when You bless us. Thank You for Your faithfulness and for Your promises, and that You are there for us in the good times and in the bad, that we can rely on You and trust You. We love You, Jesus. Amen. Today's our last day for our memory verse song. Have you been learning it? I know I have. It gets stuck in my head, and I go around humming it throughout the day. I hope you do, too. Let's go ahead and sing together.
2 Corinthians 9, verse 7.
God loves a cheerful giver, a cheerful giver, a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves
and material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.